Let me align my pulpit. You know, we hear the word go all the time. When you're little, your parents would say, let's go, it's time to go. Or your teacher would say, it's time to go to class. Maybe your boss would say, you need to go out of town. Go is a command to go in a certain direction. And today God says, go. We see this in Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you.
所以你们要去，使万民做我的门徒，奉父子圣灵的名给他们施洗。凡我所吩咐你们的，都教训他们遵守。我就常与你们同在，直到世界的末了。Note
the word go.
请你注意去那个字。
Christians are commanded to go and teach the truth about Jesus.
基督徒呢，就是要去讲耶稣的真理，把耶稣的真理告诉大家。
And make disciples of all men.
去为基督制造门徒。
Then note the word obey.
请你也注意那个字，遵守。
Disciples of Christ are supposed to obey the words of Jesus.
基督耶稣的门徒呢，信徒呢，就是应该是遵守耶稣的教导。
If you don't obey Christ's commands, are you really a Christian?
那假如你不遵守耶稣的教导，你是不是真的一个基督徒呢？
So, as we look at our first thought today, it says, God wants you to go. You are saved to serve God. You're not supposed to sit around waiting for the bus to heaven. And if we want to go, there's several things we need to do. The first one is we need to listen to God's voice. In Acts 9:10, it says, in Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision. Ananias! Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for the man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight.
使徒行传9:10，当下在伽马色有一个门徒名叫亚拿尼亚，主在异象中对他说：“亚拿尼亚。”他说：“主，我在这里。”主对他说：“起来，往直接去，在犹大的家里访问一个大富人，名叫扫罗。他正祷告，又看见了一个人名叫亚挪尼亚，竟然按手在他身上，叫他能看见。”
I love Ananias' immediate response. God says, Ananias. And he responds, yes, Lord. It's like he was expecting to hear from God. Are you expecting to hear God speak to you? God called Ananias by name. God knows each one of us personally. God knows your name and He has something for you to do. Can you hear God's voice? John 10:27 says this. My sheep listen to my voice, I know them and they follow me.
我的羊听我的声音，我也认识他们，他们也跟着我。
See, the reason we don't hear God's voice is we don't want to listen to it.
那我们听不到神的声音的话呢，就是因为我们不想听神的声音。
Do you want to hear God's voice?
你要不要听神的声音呢？
When my kids were in college, they only called me when they wanted something.
当我的小孩在大学的时候，他打电话回来呢，唯一的就是要东西。
It was either money or their car wasn't working right.
要不是钱，要不是车子就不行了。
And it kind of annoyed me that they only called me when they wanted something.
那我就有点不高兴，他们
So when they called me, I knew it was them. I would give the phone to my wife and say, it's for you. When God calls, you want to answer? See, we have to listen for God's voice. Can you hear it? You hear the Spirit's voice deep in your soul speaking to you. Can you read it? God's word speaks to you. Can you see an opportunity? You see a need or an opportunity to serve, and so you act. If we're really sincere about going, we need to listen to God's word. The second thing we need to do is we need to believe God's word. Acts 9:13. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come with the authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.
亚罗尼亚回答说：“主啊，我听见许多人说，这人怎样得了沙门，都捆害你的圣徒，并且他在这里有从祭司长得来的权柄，捆绑一切求告你名的人，赎罪亚罗尼亚说：‘你只管去，他是我所拣选的器皿，要在外邦人和君王并以色列人面前宣扬我的名。’我也要指示他，为我的名必须受许多的苦难。”
Ananias was available to do God's will. But he really wasn't anxious about doing this will. He thought to himself, Saul of Tarsus? His name would send chills down his back. This was Saul, the hunter of Christians. Saul, who helped to murder Christians. He could be pretending to be a Christian to find out who all the other Christians were. So Ananias is filled with doubt. God, don't you know who he is? When God calls you, are you ready to answer? See, God says, I know who he is. I have plans for him. When God calls you today, are you filled with doubt? Maybe you see someone in the worship service who's new today. And God says to you in a quiet voice, go greet that visitor, welcome him to our church. Will you be filled with doubt or determination? Maybe you have a co-worker at work who's going through problems. And God says, invite that person to come worship with you. Will you be filled with doubt or desire to obey God? We say, yes, Lord, I'll invite them. It's a great idea, and I'll take them to lunch afterwards and talk about you. Ananias had doubts about going to help Saul. And it is not a sin to have doubts. But see, he went straight back to the Lord to resolve his doubts. And God removed him. He said, yes, I want you to go. If you have doubts, you go straight to God and talk to God. Don't go to your feelings or your fears because they will mislead you. So we need to believe God's word. The third thing we need to do is we need to obey God's plan. See, God calls us to go. We must dare to obey. Acts 9:17. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again, and he got up and was baptized. And after taking some, some food, he regained his strength.
亚罗尼亚就去了，因路那家按照扫罗身上说，兄弟扫罗站立来的路上，向你显现的主就是耶稣。打发我来，叫你们看见，又被圣灵充满。扫罗的眼睛好像有灵，立刻掉下来，他就能看见了。于是起来受了洗，吃过饭就见状了。扫罗和大马士的门徒同住了些日子。
It's one thing to know, it's another thing to go. Ananias went straight away and found Saul. He called him Brother Saul. Welcome to the ministry. See, imagine, the last thing Saul and Ananias ever thought they would do is call each other brother. That's why we need to trust and obey God's will. God does the unexpected. He turns persecutors into preachers. We just need to dare to obey God. So Ananias lays hands on him and he can see. Then it says he was baptized. If you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you should be baptized. What's amazing is that Saul was already ready to trust in Jesus. God already touched his life. He just needed a friend. He just needed someone to come alongside him. Someone to explain the gospel. Someone to encourage him. Someone who will believe in him. Will you be that someone? Is there someone waiting for you? See, many times we have no idea what will happen when we serve God and we obey Him. We just have to have faith and obey. We need to be patient and let God work. My pastor when I was little was Brother Stanley. And when I was a fourth or fifth grader, I'd sit in the pews, listen to him preach. Well, I didn't really listen to him preach. We talked and played and teased each other. So one day, me and Mark Gong, who's in our Chinese English service, were talking too much. So he stopped in the middle of the sermon, points at us, and says, You boys, be quiet. He didn't know that one day I would be a pastor, did he? So he kept teaching me and loving me. Remember, there are different ways to go. There are different ways to share the gospel. I've been giving rides to people to bring them to church since I was a teenager and could drive. I would invite them to come, they say, I don't have a ride. I'll give you a ride. Some of them became Christians simply because I brought them to church and they could hear the Word of God. I have seen the life of a young girl transformed just because she was invited to one of my daughter's birthday parties. She came and she made friends, and her life, instead of going into darkness, went into the light. She became a Christian. Her mother tells me that that was the changing point in her life just because we cared enough to invite them to a birthday party. See, God will use what you have today. You don't have to learn anything new. You just need to say yes to the Lord. So let's talk about why you should say yes to God. The first reason is so you can glorify God. 1 Samuel 15:22. King Saul had disobeyed God. And so he thought he could make it up by just offering some sacrifices. But the prophet Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. See, the king of Israel thought he could just make it all better by offering some sacrifices. If we disobey God, we think we can make it better by just coming to church and giving an offering. But the prophet said it's an empty gesture. To obey is better than a sacrifice. When you obey God, you're telling God, I love you, God. I trust you, God. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. Obeying God because you love Him and you worship Him is more pleasing to God than anything you can give Him. You bring a smile to God's face. The second reason we should obey God is so you can exercise your faith and make it stronger. You build up muscle by exercising it. I still lift weights. I lift weights because my wife fell in love with me because I had muscles when I was young. As I get older, it's harder to lift weight. I hurt myself once and I stopped lifting weights for like 2 months. And everybody kept saying, are you sick? Because they could tell I was getting thinner because I wasn't lifting any weights. We build up our faith by taking steps of faith every day. Every step of faith makes you stronger spiritually. If you obey God once in a while, every twice a year, you're not going to be very strong.
Okay.
That every week you say, God, show me and I'll go. You exercise the power of God in your life. You realize that God's plans are far beyond your comprehension. You realize that God is already getting hearts ready to believe. You know, God for a few weeks was telling me to go visit a certain person. You know, to share the gospel with them. And I'm like, you know, do I have to go? I'm the pastor. I'm the pastor too, isn't that sad? And the reason why is because people had shared the gospel with them before. For the last 40 years. And he won't believe. Well, he won't believe if I don't go. That's for sure, right? I need to go and exercise my faith. And so I actually visited him last week. I shared the gospel with him. He didn't accept the gospel. But his daughter texted me later and said, oh, he really enjoyed your visit. And so I planned to go again. See, loving Paul was the furthest thing from Ananias' mind. But he goes and he sees this pitiful, scared man sitting in the dark. So instead of fear, compassion fills Ananias' heart. Ananias had no idea what would happen with Paul. So we know the rest of the story. Saul became Paul. An apostle of Christ. Missionary. And writer of the New Testament. So we're still benefiting from Ananias touching Paul's life today. The third reason we say yes is this. So you can transform a life. Saul was just sitting there in the dark. How many people are just waiting for you to come and share the gospel with them? How many people are sitting in darkness waiting for you to bring the light? Acts 9:19. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And all those who heard him were astonished and asked, isn't he the man who has raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests? Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ.
就在这回堂里传承耶稣说他是神的儿子传听证的人都惊奇说将要杀人上残害求告证明的不是证人吗并且他到这里来正要捆绑他们带到祭司长那里在扫罗越犯有能力拨挡住大马色的犹太人证明耶稣是基督。
So the transformed life is a powerful testimony.
所以一个转变的证明是一个很有力的
People saw Saul preaching and teaching and they were astonished. What happened? What changed him? Jesus Christ changed his life. See, it takes your love and the Word of God to transform a life. Nothing would happen until Ananias went to see Saul. If God's calling you to go and do something, you don't have to go by yourself. Take a brother or sister in Christ. You know, work with your small group or your fellowship. I tell people, feel free to call me and ask me to come to meet your friend. You know, invite us to a restaurant and we can eat together and maybe we'll start a conversation. If you invite me, I like seafood, just so you know. The next reason is, why do we say yes? So you can be an answer to prayer. Oh, just so you know, I don't like sushi. So. So you can be an answer to prayer. Saul is praying. He's scared. How many people are waiting for you to be their answer to prayer? They are waiting for a word from God. They are waiting for a friend. They just need a little encouragement to guide them in the right way. There is no more satisfying joy in this world than being an answer to prayer. When God uses you to help somebody else. When I was in college, I shared the gospel with one of the young girls at the El Paso Chinese Church. And whenever I went to camp, I always made an effort to find out who was not a Christian. And if I found out someone wasn't a Christian, I would be their prayer partner. And so I shared the gospel with this young lady, and she became a Christian. It filled me with joy. Later on, I was visiting that church in El Paso. And she was sharing her testimony in front of the church. And she saw me in the crowd and called me out by name, saying, "This man shared the gospel with me." It filled me with joy again. One day I'll see her in heaven again. And I will be filled with joy again. See, we miss out on too much when we refuse to obey God. We miss out on the opportunity to grow. To meet a challenge. To transform a life. I read this story about the tale of three ships. Everyone knows one of them, the Titanic. The ship that 2,200 people did not believe could ever sink. But on that fateful night in the North Atlantic seas, and among the icebergs, the Titanic started sinking. When it went down, 1,500 people died immediately. 700 made it to lifeboats, but they were freezing to death in the 28-degree weather. They needed to be saved. 10 miles away is this ship, the SS California. This is a cargo ship. They saw the flares, the distress flares from the Titanic. And they're arguing what to do. The ship had already stopped for the night because the ice fields surrounded the ship. So the Captain Lord decided it was too risky to try to reach the Titanic before daybreak. So they did nothing. But it was a reasonable and a sensible choice. And this ship is the RMS Carpathia. It was a daunting 58 miles from the Titanic. But they saw the warning flares and they heard the distress call. There were already 700 passengers on the ship. But Captain Ronson gave that fateful order that night. He said, turn the ship around. Let's go to the Titanic. He turned all the heat off in the ship. So all the power could go to the engines. The ship was only supposed to be able to go 14.5 knots an hour. But she averaged 17 knots steaming towards the Titanic. The captain ordered the rooms to be turned into hospital rooms. Hot food and drink was getting ready. The lifeboats were being ready to be launched. The captain says that the Carpathia seemed like that an invisible hand was guiding him around the icebergs. By the time he reached the Titanic, it had sunk. But he found 700 passengers and 20 lifeboats freezing to death. Had it not been for the Carpathia's courageous intervention, no one would have been saved by the end of the Titanic. One played it safe. The other captain would go. With purpose and determination. Ready to do anything to save a life. See, that's what God calls on us today. Be a friend. Shake a hand. Share a meal. Start a conversation. I ask you, what ship represents your life? Are you going to play it safe? Are you going to wait till the conditions are just perfect before you do anything? Are you going to dare to obey God and go? John 15:16 says this. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear much fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. See, God has chosen people to reach other people. So He's calling on you and me to go. Ananias only witnessed to one person. That one person, Paul, witnessed to thousands. God may not call you to witness to thousands. But he will call you to witness to at least one. So this week I want you to have a conversation with God. And ask God to give you some people to start praying for. Pray for three non-Christians that you know, that you talk to all the time. And then ask God to give you an opportunity to start a conversation with them. You know, the gospel message is very simple. That Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and rose from the dead. Jesus wants to give you eternal life. But he also wants to give you a meaningful life here on earth. Have you trusted in him? Why not do so today? And say, Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my life today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you call us. To go into this sinful world. To be the light of Christ. And to share the gospel. To love people. And to serve them. I pray, Father, that you give each of us, touch our hearts today. Help us to see what wonderful blessings there are when we obey you. And I pray that we will choose to obey you, Father. And Father, is there someone here today who needs to make a decision to trust in you? Touch their heart and let them say yes today. We worship and praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.